Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, November 21st. Today, hundreds of people filled a Unitarian church in downtown Colorado Springs on Sunday in honor of five people who were killed and 25 others who were wounded in a mass shooting targeting a local LGBTQ club. Governor Jared Polis spoke virtually and credited patrons as heroes for subduing the gunman minutes after he opened fire. He said that, quote, "more people are alive today and more people returned home because of their heroic actions." Today, Sun editor Larry Rickman speaks with Sun colleague Lance Benzel about the shooting and what we know this morning. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Around 500 striking coal miners gathered outside the town of Serene and its neighboring Columbine mine on this date in 1927. The day's picketing turned deadly when strikers stormed a gate into the town. Guards beat one laborer, and when others tried to rescue him, they opened fire, killing six men. The Columbine Massacre, a title that would be reused by a Jefferson County high school 7 decades later, reflected the state's ongoing violence. Declining demand for coal in the 1920s cut into corporate profits and wages for those who mined it. Worried about a repeat of the Ludlow Massacre, Governor Adams ordered the Colorado State Rangers to the strike zone. But the violence Adams had hoped to avoid broke out on the first morning that strikers and rangers faced one another. The rangers fired into the unarmed crowd, killing six strikers and wounding several dozen others. Rocky Mountain Fuel Company board member Josephine Roche rushed to the site, but the strike lingered until February 1928 when the miners returned to work. The rangers faced no legal consequences for the strikers' deaths. Roche assumed the Rocky Mountain Fuel Company's presidency the following year and instituted generous policies toward its workers in an attempt to prevent future disputes. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors at Kids Crossing. Kids Crossing believes all foster kids matter, including those who identify as LGBTQ+. If you can provide a stable, inclusive family environment built on love, acceptance, and respect, Kids Crossing will provide everything else you need, including training, in-home services, 24/7 support, and financial reimbursement. Learn more at kidscrossing.com. Next, our feature story.
Hey, good morning, Colorado. This is Larry Rickman. I'm editor of the Colorado Sun. We're bringing a special edition of the Daily Sun Up to you today after the horrific mass shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs over the weekend. This morning, I'm speaking with editor Lance Benzel, who was among those Sun staffers who deployed to the scene and covered this story for us. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning.
What can you tell us at this hour? What's the latest? What do we know?
Well, we know that shortly before midnight on Saturday, a gunman went into Club Q, an LGBTQ+ dance club and bar in Colorado Springs, and opened fire. He killed five people, wounded 25 more. I was at the scene the morning after with another Sun reporter. We talked to numerous people who had friends and loved ones who either frequented the club or were in the club. I spoke with a 34-year-old man who was on the dance floor when the shooting started. At first, he thought that it was the music pulsing, but when a second round of gunfire went off, he ran into a back dressing room where two other people were, and he cut the lights and locked both doors and hunkered down until two patrons, it sounds like, overcame the gunman and brought the incident to an end.
Lance, you spoke with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers, who credited these club goers with preventing a much larger tragedy. Can you tell us a little bit about what he had to say?
Yeah, Mayor Suthers made a brief visit to the memorial outside Club Q and credited a heroic club goer with wresting a pistol away from the shooter and using the pistol to beat up the gunman, and with at least one other club goer hold him until police arrived. That club patron did not fire the weapon. He simply used it to pistol whip the man to bring this to an end.
So what do we know about the gunman at this point?
Colorado Springs police identified the gunman as 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich. And as I said, he was subdued within 5 minutes of opening fire inside the club. We don't know about his motive, although a Sun reporter spoke with a member of security at the club who said that Aldrich was dressed in tactical gear. We know that Mr. Aldrich was arrested in June 2021 on felony menacing and kidnapping charges. That case involved a woman who called authorities and said that her son was threatening to cause harm to her with a homemade bomb, multiple weapons, and ammunition. That's sort of a limited glimpse that we could get of Mr. Aldrich on a Sunday. But certainly there were warning signs in the past over this person.
So, Lance, when are we expecting our next update from Colorado Springs Police? And what are some of the remaining questions that you have and we have for them?
So police say they'll give their next substantive update at noon on Monday. And there are numerous areas we're looking for more information on. Certainly, we're waiting on the identities of the five people who were killed. We're waiting to learn more about that prior criminal case, or the arrest, rather, of Mr. Aldrich. Something like that might have triggered, you know, an effort to take any guns he might have. So that opens up questions about how he had access to guns. Certainly, we're interested to know if, given the prior warnings about him, if anyone had petitioned to have his guns taken from him under Colorado's red flag law. Those are some of the areas we're very interested in at this point.
Well, Lance, I know you and I have been Colorado journalists for a long time and have covered far too many mass shootings, in my case, you know, going all the way back to Columbine, and these just don't get any easier. It's tough duty, and I appreciate everything that you did and the other journalists we had out there covering this and trying to keep Coloradans informed and help us understand what's going on. So thank you very much, and we'll be looking forward to learning more on Monday.
Thank you, Larry.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Where are the Kokanee salmon? It is a burning question asked by just about everyone around Gunnison and those who enjoy Blue Mesa Reservoir west of town. Colorado Parks and Wildlife biologist Dan Brow is searching for answers. Once a week during the Kokanee spawning season, he's been following the fish. In a normal season, around more than 14,000 of the Kokanee make the 30-mile swim from Blue Mesa to the Roaring Judy hatchery, and 8 million eggs are stripped from the females. This year, Brow estimated only 4,000 Kokanee had returned and only 1.6 million eggs had been harvested. U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert narrowly won re-election last week after more than a week of counting ballots in Colorado's GOP-leaning 3rd Congressional District. The incumbent Republican overcame voters' forceful rebuke of her controversial tenure in Washington over the past 2 years to help her party expand its slim majority in the U.S. House. Because her margin over Democrat and former Aspen City Councilman Adam Frisch was so thin, by state law, an automatic recount will happen this week. The contest has one of the closest margins of any congressional race in the U.S. House this year. The amount of snow that falls in the Rocky Mountains is a major factor in determining what spring runoff and downstream water supplies will look like. But equally important, and often overlooked, is soil moisture. According to the latest modeling from the Colorado Basin River Forecast Center, the state is looking good so far on the snow. But across the higher elevations of the upper Colorado River Basin, soil moisture conditions are at or below normal. The healthy monsoon season this summer helped, but large parts of the western slope remain between 70% and 100% of long-term moisture levels. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.